The KM Football Podcast. All the latest reaction and analysis from the KM Sports team. Listen every week and click subscribe on iTunes.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the KM Football Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Fordham, and joining me this week is Craig Tucker and Luke Quaddell. How are you doing, both this week?
Good morning.
Yeah, very well, thank you. Yep.
Brilliant. So on this week's show, we're going to be talking about the FA Cup action at the weekend, where both Gillingham and Maidstone were in action, and then also in the National League, where Ebbsfleet and Dover were both playing. So first of all, let's start by talking about Gillingham and how they got on at Slough. They picked up a 1-0 win, probably not as comfortable as they would have liked it to have been, Luke. First half in particular was very difficult.
Yeah, not comfortable at all. First half, though, right up against it. It was wave after wave of Slough attack, really. They were sort of first on the ball, they were getting into tackles, they were making space, they were passing well. Everything that Gillingham should have done, really. But Slough really impressed me, actually. And they should have gone ahead, and they paid for it, really, by not taking their chances. They had numerous efforts at goal. Most of them went wide. And second half, Darren Oldacre popped up with a magical goal to give Gillingham the lead, and they were hanging on as well at the end, Gillingham, but they just about got over the line into the third round.
Yeah, that goal was an absolute cracker. If you haven't seen it, check out. We've got it embedded in one of the stories online. You can go and see it there. Absolute fantastic goal. Slough, they're sort of mid-table in National League South this season. They're probably better than you expected then, I imagine. They seem very up for it.
I think they're a club on the up because they got promoted last season from the division below. So they're actually sort of, I mean, mid-table. They're pretty happy with that. They do play on the 3G, and they play on it well as well. Their passing and movement was really good on the eye. A lot better than Gillingham. They played a lot better than Gillingham on the day. But that one bit of class sort of won out in the end, really, didn't it? And I mean, Slough had enough chances, they just didn't have the quality when it really mattered, I suppose.
Yeah, you mentioned the 3G pitch then. They were talking about it on the BBC coverage before the game, saying how it could be sort of affect the game at all. But with sort of a lower league club, sometimes their pitches, if they're grass, they could be in a really poor condition. But with 3G, you sort of guaranteed that it's not going to bobble around.
Usually look at the
pitch
as a bit of a leveller, don't you? I mean, because it's usually at this time of year, some of the non-league pitches can be all over the place. But no, there was absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like a carpet, literally like a carpet, wasn't it? So Gillingham shouldn't have had a problem on it. They just didn't. I mean, in the post-match reaction from Steve Lovell, he actually admitted that some of his players maybe they didn't take Slough as they should have done, really, and that they misjudged what they were going to expect. But they came through in the end, which was the message, really. A win's a win.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. They're through into the third round draw for the first time since 2012. That draw's going to be made. The coverage starting on BBC One at 7:30 this evening. Ball to watch out for is number 64. Who do you want in the next round? Who do you fancy a trip to? I'm guessing you perhaps fancy an away trip to a ground perhaps you haven't been to before.
Yeah, definitely don't want Accrington away. Gillingham would have been playing Accrington actually on that third round weekend, and Accrington are in the third round as well, so we don't want Accrington. Yeah, it's just someone decent, a nice little away trip. Yeah. Yes. Maybe somewhere like West Ham would be decent, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. So some balls to watch out for: Man United number 24, Man City 23, Chelsea 12, Arsenal number 2, and Spurs are number 39. There.
You don't want someone mediocre. No offense to anyone else, but
you don't want a League Two club or a League One
middle of the road championship team, do you? That's just going to knock you out. You want a nice day out
somewhere, or if you're going to draw someone in to perhaps League One, you want someone instead in the National League where you can get through to the next round and perhaps go a bit further in the competition.
Or maybe spring a surprise against a top team. Gillingham have been the underdogs. Gillingham have been the favourites, for the last two games. So it'd be nice for them maybe to be the underdogs and give someone a bit of a run for the money.
And let's listen to a bit of reaction from Gillingham boss Steve Lovell after the win against Slough on Saturday.
It was excellent. You know, the boys dug in, and I just said to their managers in there that all credit to Slough. They give us most probably one of the hardest games we've had this season, and you would have seen that. You know, the way they came at us and put us under pressure, stopped us from playing. And I'm just delighted for the boys because they defended very, very well, which we had to again. A great goal that won it. We had a couple of opportunities where perhaps we could have added to it, but you know, as I said, we came here to win the game. How we won it, it doesn't really matter in the FA Cup. You know, you've come here and got a result, and that's all that matters. That's what it's all about. You've got to dig in and perhaps get clean sheets, and if we can nick a goal, you win games, and that happened today. And you know, someone told me this morning you're going to win 1-0. I would have taken it.
Yeah.
So it's. You know, it's a result. We're through to the third round, and as I said, you know, that's all that really matters. You know, you're on a hide into nothing when you come to, you know, to the non-league grounds. I've been in the position before at Gillingham where we've lost games against the non-league opposition, so you know what you're going to get. You know, they expect you to win. You know, the onus is on us to win. And Slough were, you know, they were there. It was a massive like FA Cup final for them. You know, to win the game would be a massive shock. And that's the first thing. We haven't caused a, you know, they haven't caused a shock through the second round, and now hopefully we can take that on to Saturday at Scunthorpe.
But no particular teams that you want, or home, away?
No, it's obvious. Everybody says the same thing, don't they? We want all the big ones, but no, we've won this game, and like as Ben just said, you know, it's six wins or four, whatever it was, out of a number of games, and we're starting to win games, and that's what it matters is. So we just take this as another win, go on to Scunthorpe on Saturday and hopefully get a result there and keep it going. And if we can keep winning until the next third round, we play the third round, whoever it is, we might have a chance of winning it tomorrow, who it is.
And then this weekend they've got a trip to Scunthorpe. They've having a very poor season this year.
Yeah, but it turned around, didn't it, this year from last season?
Yeah, they were very good last year. They're just above the relegation zone, level on points with Gills as well. This is a very important game in the grand scheme of things at the moment for Steve Lovell and his side.
Yeah, it's talked about this month has been a big one. The Christmas fixtures are really tough as well, so you don't want to go into Christmas sort of just above the bottom four again. I mean, if you actually look at their results, all competitions have won 6 out of 10, so results wise they're pulling it around a bit. They've got a lot of their key attacking players are fit again. So hopefully we're sort of starting to see things slowly turning around. A win at Scunthorpe would be fantastic. They're certainly not the team they were last season. I think they finished fifth in the table, but now they're struggling. They've lost a lot of other better players. They're not the team they were, so hopefully Gillingham can go there and get it. It usually absolutely hammers it down at Scunthorpe every time they go there, so I'm sure it'll be a battle.
Absolutely, it's one of those good old-fashioned football league grounds there at Scunthorpe.
Yeah, you get Granford Park. Good atmosphere inside there, nice and close and compact.
Yeah, definitely. That game on Saturday away at Scunthorpe. So the other team in action in the FA Cup this weekend was Maidstone. They were beaten at home by Oldham 2-0. Craig, just wasn't meant to be in the end.
No, I think it's fairly routine for Oldham. In the end, I think really you say the underdog, you want to have a good go at the League Two club. Difficult straight away with Blair Tugger being out for 6 weeks. I think as soon as he was injured on Tuesday, I think you know, you're worried about the league longer term, but straight away thinking, oh, that's the cup game gone. Game plan has to change, and it was sorely missed to say he's the only one really who ever looks like scoring in that team. So Roar's going to be up against it, and I think Maidstone had they worked hard. I don't think anyone could say they didn't, but I think they're just largely kept at arm's length by Oldham. I thought they were just a better side on the day, and they probably look at it fairly comfortable 2-0 win. But yeah, I think Maidstone worked hard, did as well as they could, but say bad first goal. And I suppose it's one where if you get carved open by, you know, a bit of quality, it's easier. But the first goal was rubbish, really, just a set piece that wasn't dealt with. Played back across goal and in. And they've conceded a lot of goals from set pieces recently, so that's been a problem that they need to try to sort out. And late second, but as I say, Maidstone's biggest problem, they've just obviously done a lot of scoring. They've got a couple of really hard working forwards, Romain and Cassidy, all run and run all day long, but the goals aren't there at the minute, unfortunately. And They have a lot to chase. There's a lot of long ball stuff that the willing workers have run after everything. But it's going to be difficult without Turgut, unfortunately.
There's always going to be an uphill battle on, I'd say, with the players that are out. There's three or four players who are cup tied. Simon Wharton was suspended as well, so it's always going to be difficult having to make so many changes when you really, for this game, you would have wanted to put his strongest side out to try and get through to that third round. It's always going to be a struggle against a side who got a bit of quality in them. He wasn't even able to fill his bench on Saturday, was he?
No, six out of seven, two academy lads. I think Jack Richards was another one of the subs who's been injured. I don't think he could have come on. Ollie Muldoon, who did come on, has been injured. So there wasn't really anyone on the bench who could have come on to change the game, unfortunately. That was the other problem there. Obviously, those players being cup tied, obviously the club knew that when they signed those players that they wouldn't be able to play in the FA Cup. So that's one where you think, well, you're aware of that. Obviously, Turgut's injury is the one that they couldn't do anything about, and it's sort of, really unfortunate. But it was because he went 4-4-2, and it's good to sort of see that, thinking we're going to have Romain and Cassidy playing up front as strikers. It's normally one up top. It's nice to see two up front, but unfortunately the team, you've got two central midfielders having to play as wingers, not their natural position, makes it difficult to sort of get the service that they perhaps would have wanted as a two up top. And it's just difficult. It wasn't really a team, as I say, a team I thought worked hard, but it wasn't a team that on the day was really capable of upsetting Oldham.
Record competitive crowd for Maidstone at the Gallagher. Sounded like a fairly good atmosphere at the game, and a pretty decent day for the club, and a good turnout from the Maidstone fans.
Yeah, it was really good. Football Focus were down broadcast from there Saturday, and it was really good. That went down really well. Lots of familiar faces getting themselves on telly, and lots of people talking about that. The atmosphere before the game, really good. Fans making a lot of noise. It seemed a really good day, sort of set up for a good day, but I think everyone knew that the game probably wouldn't live up to the sort of build up, if you like. But Oldham fans, they travelled well, 4:25, I think it was around that, and they were brilliant. It was loud, lots of singing added to the day as well, and it's good. Yeah, it's always good when you get a big away following as well.
Absolutely, and let's listen to a bit of reaction from Harry Wheeler after that defeat to Oldham at the weekend.
Proud of the lads for obviously, their effort and the endeavour they showed. We matched them for a majority of the game. Disappointed because we spoke all week, just take no risks. All the good teams take no risks. They clear their lines. They don't try and shepherd things out in a 6-yard box. And unfortunately, we've made the decision to try and keep it in. And all we've got to do is clear the ball. And, it got you going 0-0 at half time. And so disappointed on little moments, but we've matched them and we've tried to push as far as we can. And we got through again, great. But, it wasn't meant to be. I've seen the free kick in there for the goal. It's not actually a free kick. And I go on about things, but I only go when they're actual facts. If you look at it yourselves, you'll see it's not a free kick. But once it is and it's gone against us, we've got to deal with it. And the goal's only down to us, not the decision of the referee. I don't think anyone can say they didn't run around and didn't give everything they've got. It's a league side that are unbeaten in five. They're unbeaten in five. They drew with top of the league in theirs on Tuesday night. They won 4-0 the week before. They're a good side. So we competed for as long as we could with a depleted squad, with five of them out. But at the same time, the lads that I said to them that got their places, keep your shirt. Keep your shirt. And, I thought they'd done really well today, and I thought we competed well. Big size, the higher you go up, the more clinical they are. Finished theirs, and the two chances they had, we didn't. And that's the difference at the end of the day.
So Maidstone have a trip to Barrow on Saturday, a nice long trip up there. League form hasn't been great of late for Maidstone. They suddenly found themselves only a point ahead of Dover and a couple of points inside the relegation zone in the National League. A little bit concerning, the current league position going into Christmas.
Yeah, I think Harry Wheeler's had 12 league games and he's got averaging a point a game. He's made a lot of changes, so it's obviously difficult to get a side going, really, when you're making that many changes during the season. Probably all these things you want to be doing in pre-season, really rebuilding like they have had to do or have decided to do. So the league form has been poor and certainly needs to improve there. say in the bottom three now. And yeah, the particularly the past couple of games, the Havant game, like Romain got sent off when he shouldn't have been, but they were playing poorly before the red card, and you know, ended up conceding five. And the Eastleigh game again, I think the Romain had a goal that proved to be onside at 0-0 that was ruled out, but again, I'm not convinced it would have made that much difference. I don't think Maitland were playing very well, so they need to pick it up. He's aware of that. It won't be easy. It's as I say, just desperately need a win really from somewhere just to sort of pick things back up. They had been on a quite a nice little run before that, with the win at Barnet. That was a decent performance. Had a couple of good draws as well against good sides. So yeah, just need something in the league just to settle everybody down now the cup's over, because the cup run sort of masked the league form a little bit, but now it's back to the league and climbing out that bottom four.
You need someone to step up with the goals now. Blair Turgot's going to be out for 6 weeks. It'd be what, mid-January you're looking at until he comes back, and that he's going to miss those all-important Christmas games where they're really packed in. They're playing on the 22nd, 26th, 29th, and then on New Year's Day as well. So he's going to miss all of those games. How big a loss is that? He scored, 11 league goals this season. The only one he's really been getting on the score sheet for me. So, yeah, it's going to be such a big loss.
Yeah, 11. It's 11 out of the 18 league goals. So, you know, that's just a big... big percentage of the goals. Yeah, he's just so important in the way they play him there, you know, the goals. Yeah, the way the team sort of, the way the team is set up, you know, he's a key man of, you know, what he does, what he brings to the team. And it's pretty psychological in a way as well. I think everyone's on a bit of a downer, losing your star man, the bloke who's scoring the goals. It just sort of, yeah, puts everyone in a bit of a downer. But they've got to come from somewhere. I'm not too sure where the goals are going to come from, but even if they grind out something, a couple of 1-0s or something like that, just to sort of ease a bit of the pressure down the bottom.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's sort of turn our attention now to some other National League action from the weekend. You sort of mentioned needing to grind in out a couple of wins to lift you up the table. Seems like it's exactly what Ebbsfleet have done. About a month ago when Gary Hill took over, they were sort of nearing, sort of going the opposite direction towards the bottom end of the National League table, but they're up to 10th now and 5 points off the playoffs with the run they've gone on since he's taken charge. And that continued with their 2-0 victory at Aldershot on Saturday. Michael Cheek got his fourth goal in three games, and Kebwell also got on the score sheet. All of a sudden things are starting to look up for Ebbsfleet, and yeah, who would have thought? If we'd have been talking a month ago, Ebbsfleet had been 5 points off the playoffs. Things are sort of turned around now. What do you guys think? Is it the new manager effect? You often see this with teams coming in. Dover started to lift up a bit now, and yeah, do you think it's the new manager effect that's sort of taken hold at Ebbsfleet?
I guess so. Yeah, it must have been. Yeah, he's definitely sort of turning it around a bit, hasn't he? He's made the acquisition of Cody McDonald as well. We all expected him to go there at some point. He's finally made the move, and be interesting to see how he gets on once he's fit and raring to go. As a bit of extra competition as well, we're saying Danny Kedwell still knocking him in. Lad Cheek as well fancies his chances. So it's all looking a bit better there, isn't it, now? And yeah, certainly if they're only just a few points off the playoffs now, you'd expect them to make a right go at it. I think when Gary Hill first came in, he said that they're going to be going for the playoffs, and fair play, they are doing that.
Yeah, perhaps they didn't think that it'd be so close so quickly after he's taken over. It's been what, around a month that he's been in charge now, and they're already just four places and 5 points off the playoffs. So yeah, he's seemed to have turned things around there. Selection up front, he's got Michael Cheek, Danny Kebwell and Cody McDonald. A good front three for the National League, Craig. It's a pretty strong attack.
Yeah, strong. Yeah, he's been keen to play two up as well, hasn't he? I think before he was sort of talking about Kebwell being the main man up there on his own, and he's been keen to put someone up there alongside him. Seems to be working, but also the defence. He's got the defence doing the business as well, not letting any goals in. Always a decent place to start, and they've got so many attacking options. I think he's sort of suggested as well he couldn't really work out why they were struggling like they were, and he's seen things. I think he'd seen some games before taking over, just, you know, doing the rounds, watching some football. vastly experienced manager. He obviously knows what he's doing, got a decent CV, been out of football for a while as well, so probably had a bit of time to think about things and come in refreshed, ready to go, and he's doing the business.
You're right about the defence, aren't you? If you can get the defence right and you've got strikers like that up front, just let them, you know, have a couple of chances, they're going to get a goal, and if you keep it tight at the back, then jobs are good and you get a win, don't you?
No, absolutely. I think it's 7 unbeaten now as well for Ipswich, on a pretty good run at the moment, and they'll be hoping to continue that. Home to Barnet on Saturday. It's going to be a tough game. Let's listen to some reaction from Gary Hill after that weekend's game, Aldershot.
Superb performance throughout. You know, a game that we totally dominated, very professional, looked very, very strong, created chances. And as I say, whoever you beat in this league, away from home is always a good win. And Aldershot's home form this season has been very strong. You know, so it was going to be a good test for us today. And, you know, we had enough possession in the first half. I didn't think we really worked the goalkeeper as much as would have liked us to do, but got the break early in the second half from the throwing flick on. Michael Cheeks got behind him and put it away. And, of course, it gives you that little bit of a cushion in one way. You ask other teams to come out a little bit more. And then Corey Whiteley got brought down and put that one away. You know, Danny Kedrell there. So, you know, it's a good 3 points, no doubt about it. Also, we kept a clean sheet. We had one or two injuries. We changed things around a little bit today in respect to shape and various things. But whatever way I feel that we go to work, that when you look at the playing squad, I've told the players just in there, there's a lot of quality players in this changing room who have basically underachieved. But you want to start believing. You want to start believing in what a good set of players there are in this change room collectively as a group, and you are capable of putting a run together which can surprise a lot of people above us.
Let's move on now to Dover, who drew 2-2 at Eastleigh on Saturday. Andy Hessenthaler returning to his former club where he spent just under a year. Eastleigh doing very well in National League. They're around ninth, I think, in the table, and certainly pushing for those playoffs. But Andy Hessenthaler took on the job at Dover to try and get them out of those relegation places, and he's got them off the bottom of the table. They've picked up 7 points in their last three games. They've moved above Braintree and only a point behind Maidstone now. They've played a game more than some of those sides, but they're just 3 points off safety now. At one point it was about 7 or 8 points they were looking at. So he's really turned things around there at Dover. Ine Ifeong has started to score goals as well, 3 in his last 3 games. I think it's 5 goals in 9 league games now for him under Chris Kinnear. He didn't score at all at the start of the season, so he's really finding his confidence now. And Hessenthaler's picked up 10 points from the last 6 games. So yeah, things starting to look good down there at Dover. There's still a long way to go, but 3 points off safety is I think Hessenthaler would have taken that when he'd have joined the club. They were looking like they were going to be adrift there, but they've got a really tough game on Saturday, home to Fylde. Craig, have you seen Fylde this season? They are a very strong side. I think they beat Dover 5-0 earlier on in the season. They're a very strong team in the National League.
Yeah, good side. Row up front, scores a lot of goals. Unfortunately, there's one game I missed this season. I had a wedding, which is a good night, actually. Maidstone lost up there 2-0, but remember, it was one where Harry Weedis, after the game, they played really well and got away from him in the second half. But they're strong. Yeah, they're pay big money, got a good side. I think they'll be up there among the playoffs, won't they? I'm pretty sure of that. But yeah, Dover, I think it just shows, isn't it, how quickly football changes. People are panicking, but it's so early in the season, even if you're a few adrift, space of a few games, they're right on top of the other teams and close to getting out of the bottom four. So it just shows, isn't it, you know, you get even in sort of September, October, people saying, oh, games are must win, but that's not really the case, is it, when it's that early in the season? It can turn so quickly, and they're on a good run. The thing there as well, you know that Jim Parmenter will put his hand in his pocket as well and back Hessenthaler probably with more money if it's needed to bring players in continue to strengthen. He's been busy already, hasn't he, Hessenthaler? And yeah, he seems to be getting it how he wants it there.
Yeah, he still wants to bring a couple of players in. I think he's looking at bringing another central defender in since Connor Essam couldn't commit to full-time training and he went out on loan to Concord in the National League South. So he's still looking for an extra centre-half to bring in. But he's brought in a number of new faces there, and yeah, things are picking up. They're only 2 or 3 points off Chesterfield, who are on an absolutely terrible run at the moment. He's seen this; they're both on their best unbeaten run, but also their worst winless run at the moment. I think they are 19 without a win in the National League, but they're unbeaten in their last 12 or something. So,
Mad Dog's face was brilliant, wasn't it, when it was put to him last week in that press conference about that worst run and with the head in his hands, blimey, wasn't it? But yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Very strange. But
they got knocked out of the cup, though, didn't they? Unfortunately, I think Chesterfield, did they?
Yeah, I think they got knocked out yesterday.
Still think they'll come good, though. I don't know why. You can't see them going down, surely.
Shows the fine lines, doesn't it? Because if they'd got a couple of wins in that run, you know, draws,
they'd be mid table.
Exceptional sort of unbeaten run, wouldn't it? You'd be flying. So it's just such fine lines, isn't it?
But you can't. I don't know what the situation is up there. But if you're not losing, you can't sack the bloke, can you? If you surely not when you've got 11, 12 unbeaten or whatever it is, you can't.
No, it's a crazy run of draws, though, isn't it? It's mad.
Yeah, 19 without a win.
But I suppose with the with Dover turning it around a bit and Dagenham flying now, it's adds the extra pressure on Maidstone, doesn't it?
Yeah, and Dagenham, Taylor's doing a brilliant job there, and he's really sorted him out. And it was always going to take a little bit of time because he went there with no money and to sort of turn that around. But they're absolutely flying. I think they've won 6 in 7, so they're away from it and probably keep improving. But yeah, he's a class manager, Taylor. He's had a good career, hasn't he? And you thought he would do a really good job there.
Yeah, he's obviously got Connor Wilkinson back, hasn't he? He was influential in bringing him to Gillingham, so it's no surprise to see. When Connor needed a club to go to, that he went to Dagenham, and he's got 4 goals in 4 games or something like that. So he's really helped turn their form around.
Yeah, definitely. It just shows how tight that National League table is, and how quickly things can turn around. So for both Dover and Maidstone, a couple more wins, and you could be sort of out of that bottom four and be sort of looking ahead rather than behind you. In the National League South, Dartford didn't play on Saturday, but they have a home match to Torquay on Tuesday. That's a big clash in the league. It's sixth. Dartford were sixth, playing third place Torquay. So that's going to be a big game there for Dartford. We also have the FA Vars draw, which is going to be made around midday on Monday, so a couple of hours' time from when we're recording this podcast, and that's going to be on TalkSport 2. We have Canterbury City bested and Cray Valley still in the competition. Canterbury City is the furthest they've got into the Vars in their history, so congratulations to them on making it that far. It was the third round on Saturday, so I think it's the last 32 now they're into.
So it's the national stage now, isn't it? So all those big northeast clubs come into it and stuff like that. So it's
could really
get serious now.
Yeah, you want a home. You want definitely want a home game in this next round. Otherwise, you could be facing a very very long trip to some of these places. And one final thing before we finish this week, let's go through the Kent Online Team of the Week. So in goal, we have Sam Mott from Ashford United. He saved a last-minute penalty as Ashford beat Phoenix 2-0 in Tommy Warrilow's first game as manager for the Bostic South East club. We have Jack Paxman from Margate in defence, alongside Sonny Miles from Tunbridge Angels, Gabriel Zaccani from Gillingham, and Josh Dorling from Sevenoaks. Midfield, we have Zach Fagan from Hightown, Darren Oldacre from Gillingham, who we mentioned scored that absolute screamer at the weekend in that FA Cup win. And we have Betente Gomez from Dover. Up front is Danny Mills from Welling, Ian Draycott from Folkestone, who scored a hat-trick at the weekend, and then Michael Cheek from Ebbsfleet. Manager of the week is Gary Hill from Ebbsfleet. A deserved manager of the week then, do you feel? They're just not only for the result that Ebbsfleet got at the weekend, but also for the run that they've been on and where he's got them to at the moment.
Yeah, just picking up nicely, aren't they? Is it a good start there? Looks to be a good fit for him. I think a few people were a bit surprised when he got the job there, but early signs look good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. Thanks very much to everyone who has listened to the podcast this week. Don't forget to subscribe on Audio Boom and iTunes.